Time to get busy.
Like we always do about this time.
Jonathan Hood. On ESPN 1000.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
He was going the right way. Cohen all the way. Touchdown, Chicago.
There won't be some Rams renaissance with this Bears team. That's just not happening. Even with Mitch Trubisky, you may have the jersey, but you don't know what that guy really is.
To market it, to answer. Come on.
Oh, bang, 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 sriracha.
Joseph Sikora.
I think I saw you in a commercial with Michael Jordan. Were you with Jordan in
the
commercial?
Michael Jordan, yeah.
What was your line in that commercial?
It is Michael Jordan.
That's all you had.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means.
A Louisiana couple is accused of attempting to rob an Uber driver.
Under the hood.
That the woman distracted by being topless.
With Jonathan Hood.
I got an engine underneath my hood.
Oh, it's a topless woman. Oh, I'm totally distracted now.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Welcome in. It's Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are on till 10 o'clock tonight. We are open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet at us on Twitter. We'll get back to you throughout the show. We'll have some Bulls postgame this hour, Abdallah. I also have a thought for you on the college football playoff. I enjoyed watching the bowl games the last couple of days on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We'll talk about college football in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. But I wanted to start this hour with this. On Tuesday, after Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips all spoke to the media up at Hallis Hall, about an hour after that took place, we found out that Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand and a couple other coaches were fired from the coaching staff for the Chicago Bears. They're heading in a different direction. And when you look at Mark Helfrich, I think it's kind of simple when you really think about it to why he was fired. Do you have the offensive stats there, the lack of progression, the lack of development we saw from the Bears offense this year from what we saw last year?
Well, they went down from 9th to 29th in points per game. They were 9th in 2018. They went to 29th in points per game this year. Mitchell Trubisky's QBR dropped 31 points. His expected points adjusted, or points added, I mean, went down 40 points. And then if you look at, we were told by Adam Johns of The Athletic that, you know, it was Helfrich and Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, who were both fired, that it was their job to, with the run game, was their job. And we all remember the game where they abandoned the run after three plays, all that kind of stuff. If you look at Tariq Cohen's use, he had 99 carries in 2018. He only had 64 carries in 2019. He had 444 yards in 2018, only 213 yards in 2019, 4.5 yards per attempt to 3.3 yards. He had actually had 8 more catches, so there's that. He had almost 300 less receiving yards this year. He had 5 yards less per reception this season, and his total yards went down almost 600 yards this season. So that might be why.
The Bears' offense yards per play, they were 31st in the NFL. Rushing attempts, they were 24th. Last year, they were 8th in rushing attempts. So, I mean, listen, you want to blame the running game coordinators, but you also didn't run the football.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So rushing first downs, the Bears were 27th in the National Football League. Yards per pass attempt, they were 32nd, which also hurts the run game because you have a quarterback who doesn't throw downfield. And obviously, points per game, they were 30th in the National Football League. Last year, they were 10th. So when you look at everything, you can't fire the head coach after one season. He went 12-4 last year. He's the offensive play caller. He's the offensive guru. He's the offensive coordinator for all intents and purposes. He's the reason the offense is the way it is. Mm-hmm. You can't fire him. I understand that. I'm not calling for Matt Nagy's head. But it is interesting that they fired Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand because they are blaming two people specifically for the issues that I think blanket the entire group, whether it be players, whether it be the general manager and not giving you the correct tools to get the job done, whether it be the head coach, who's the guy pushing the buttons on the actual offense trying to make it go. Dan Orlovsky was on with David Kaplan this morning, and he talked about the coaches being fired within the Bears organization.
I don't mind the Helfrich firing. I don't, because if you think that he wasn't adding value or maybe being the set of eyes that you need, I can understand. The offensive line coach firing, I get a little bit concerned about, because, one, their offensive run game calling was atrocious. And so I don't know if that guy's track record as an offensive line coach is basically flawless. And their run game was so hit, like, just throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. There was no commitment to anything. And I don't believe that's how that coach's track record says he is. Good offensive line coaches are really difficult to find. As there are any position coaches, they're difficult to find. And so who's going to be the replacement is as big a deal to their offensive coordinator.
So that was Dan Orlovsky earlier today on Cap and Company talking about the coaches being fired, Harry Hiestand and Mark Helfrich. And really, the head coach, Matt Nagy, didn't really put them in the right positions to be successful. And we went through the stats and the rushing the football attempts, how they're 24th, rushing first downs, 27th. Adam had the stats on yards and the specifics on the actual running backs and the lack of touches with Tariq Cohen. Listen, it's understandable to why they fired these two individuals. I think there's maybe a little something more with Mark Helfrich. Do you remember back in the middle of the season, Dan Graziano was on Get Up, and he talked about how the coaching staff, the Bears coaching staff, thought that Mitch Trubisky would take the next step?
Mm-hmm.
I think he let something slip within this audio cut. And listen, you and I, we're just here listening to audio. It's what we do. We watch TV. We hear the audio. I don't know if this is true, but take a listen to what Graziano says.
The coaching staff feels like they're flat-footed because they believe this young man would take a jump this year that he has not taken. I talked to members of their coaching staff before he was hurt, mm-hmm. and the stuff they were saying, Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, told me the difference between anticipation and predetermination is Trubisky's problem right now, that he's assuming his first and second read won't be open, so he's locked in on the third, and his feet aren't set when the first one's open. I mean, that sounds like a pretty big project, right? I mean, like, there's a lot to fix there, and this is year three with a quarterback that was supposed to be blossoming by now, and he isn't. They can't trust him, and I think that's affecting everything.
ESPN's Dan Graziano on October 22nd, in the middle of the season, a sourced person on national television telling Dan Graziano, Mark Helfrich being the source, that the reason why things are not working within the offense is because the quarterback did not develop the way we thought we would. He was the leak to the media. It's pretty obvious. He becomes the fall guy. The offense is bad, but you get rid of the leak because, listen, here's the evidence. This guy is giving out information, trashing the quarterback to national columnists who are on TV, on ESPN, quoting you. Not saying from the coaches or from someone within the building, which you usually hear, or a source, a Bears source in air quotes. No, it was quoted right there, Graziano. Mark Helfrich is the one that told me, Trubisky doesn't know what he's doing. That's why the offense is struggling. He was an easy fall guy, right? Like, the offense was bad. You could blame a lot of people, but it's pretty easy to just get rid of the guy who's leaking information.
You found them all. And I thought that even without that, someone needed to be held accountable, and in the NFL and in this business, it's usually with a firing, right? And I said from the jump that this guy was going to be fired, that Mark Helfrich was going to be let go. I don't know if Harry Hiestand warranted to be let go. There were a lot of injuries. You had injuries on that offensive line. You know that you've got subpar players on that offensive line. Harry Hiestand is one of the most, if not the most, well-respected offensive line coach in the league, and he's the best offensive line coach in college football. We had Mike Golic Jr. on in the first hour of the show. If you didn't hear that, you can check that on the podcast, ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. He even said that he was the best coach he's ever had, and he played for Harry Hiestand when he was at Notre Dame. So to me, someone needed to fall on the sword, and it was going to be Helfrich. Did it make it easier that he was possibly a mole to Dan Graziano? Absolutely possible.
Possibly. Here's the cut. This is from October 22nd. Graziano on the coaching staff thought Mitch would take a step this year. Here's Graziano on ESPN television.
The coaching staff feels like they're flat-footed because they believed this young man would take a jump this year that he has not taken. I talked to members of their coaching staff before he was hurt, and the stuff they were saying, Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, told me the difference between anticipation and predetermination is Trubisky's problem right now, that he's assuming his first and second read won't be open, so he's locked in on the third, and his feet aren't set when the first one's open. I mean, that sounds like a pretty big project, right? I mean, like there's a lot to fix there, and this is year three with a quarterback that was supposed to be blossoming by now, and he isn't. They can't trust him, and I think that's affecting everything.
And that's October 22nd, so that's 2 days after the Saints game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're not, like, halfway through the season. You're like, that's what, Trubisky's fifth game of the year, and this is what's out there? So, like, I mean, sure, Graziano probably slipped, didn't mean to say Mark Helfrich, but I remember hearing it at the time, and then when I saw the news on Tuesday that they fired Helfrich, I just thought to myself, well, yeah, obviously. He was the guy that was probably giving out information that made the coaching staff look bad because he saw what was taking place. He becomes the fall guy. There goes Mark Helfrich. Bye. Yeah. You're
absolutely
out.
But I think that with the decreases that you saw, I went through the running backs, we saw the decrease in production from Trubisky, someone was going to lose their job. You can't bring everyone back and be like, guys, we're just going to try again. We went 12-4 the year before, we're just going to try again.
Well, if you listen to Ryan Pace, it sounds like that's what he's trying to do.
Well, that was before they fired Helfrich and
well,
and,
I mean, right, but know, that's the face he put on for the media,
well,
right?
You're just, I mean, you're bringing back Trubisky and just going to try again with Trubisky, so there's that.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Nick and Gurney. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, man?
So here's what we got. You got Ryan Pace. He trades all these draft picks for players who may or may not be good, but he has nobody else telling him otherwise. Pace needs somebody like Cubs. The Cubs have Theo and Jed. You have a GM and a president of baseball operations. Ryan Pace needs somebody like that. So Ryan Pace just can't go rogue and trade all these draft picks because that's what he likes to do. And then Matt Nagy, I think this next offensive coordinator has to be someone, because Helfrich was a guy, college coach straight to the NFL. It is what it is. But I think this new offensive coordinator needs to be a guy on the sideline so we could walk Mitch through like the progression by progression thing in game. And Matt Nagy with his play calling has just been atrocious. He's like that one guy at like a family party. You want to put the tables and the foldable chairs away. He's the guy who takes way too many chairs. Everyone sees he needs help, but nope, he's got it. He's got it, guys. He's got all the chairs.
And he drops them too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a good
thank you,
analogy.
Nick. We appreciate it, man.
And look, I agree, but you brought.
Like,
Nagy
I can picture
here.
The guy trying to walk with
oh, there's always
the
one guy. So I got it.
Kind of sounds like Ryan Pace, too.
I think that there is no way that Nagy gives up play calling. And that's going to lead to possibly not getting a good offensive coordinator here, or as good of an offensive coordinator here, because I don't think you're going to get like a Shermer. You're not going to get like one of these guys that want to come here that want to call that because they want to call plays. Those guys want to call plays. You want an offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy is a very good head coach, right? There was an opportunity, right? At the end of that Philadelphia game, you beat the Lions on November 10th and then you lost to the Rams on the road. There was a chance there where he could have lost the team, right? This had the makings of defense tuning him out, guys not believing in Mitch, guys turning, guys not playing for everything, guys getting hurt, all that kind of stuff. This had the makings of someone that could have lost the team, but he kept the team together. He kept everyone behind Trubisky. He kept everyone on the same page, and that's what good head coaches do. We saw it with Tressman. No one liked Tressman. No one respected Tressman as a head coach. Lance Briggs opened up a restaurant the first week of the season and missed practice the first week of the season to go open a restaurant. So to say that he's a bad head coach isn't true. He's a good head coach, right? He kept the team together, but he might need help in the other aspects. He might not be able to do everything. He might not be able to do all of the duties of a head coach and call plays on Sunday, because he calls plays like he's a gunslinging quarterback. He calls plays like he's going to throw a football over the mountains. He calls plays like, I can do this. I need to get Mitch in a rhythm, and I'm going to keep doing this. That's how he calls plays. He doesn't call plays like an offensive coordinator who's trying to, who looks at the whole game as 60 minutes, who looks at the whole game as, look, we've got time. Mitch can screw up. We can have a three and out. It doesn't mean we abandon our game plan. He calls plays like the kid playing Madden from behind, who's just going to throw, 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 throw.
Okay, Chris Buck, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I need help from our friend Zach Morris.
Time out.
I was listening to you. But
you weren't listening to me. I saw your face.
What? I don't understand. What did the Lance Briggs...
He left the first week of the season to
but
go...
What did that have to do with your what you
no
were
respect,
saying?
That's no respect for your head coach.
Oh, so Lance Briggs showed no respect for the coach because he left the first week
I'm
of the season.
That
was a part of the point
I'm
you were trying to make?
I'm saying that the team didn't respect Trestman. Okay, not just
right.
Lance Briggs.
All right.
Everyone did not respect Trestman.
Now I'm back
Nobody respected Trestman.
Now I'm back with you.
Yes.
Because when you were saying it, I was like, what is
Trestman
Abdallah
didn't
talking about?
Trestman didn't have respect from day one.
Okay, that's the point
is my point I was making. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Zach Morris.
Time in.
Okay, I just had to make sure there. Ed in Hyde Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ed?
How you gentlemen doing tonight?
We're good, man.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you. I just want to kind of clear up the things that everybody says going back and forth about Mitchell Trubisky. See, here's the thing. He's not good because he was never going to be good. He came from North Carolina. When it comes to recruiting athletes from high school in basketball, North Carolina is absolutely at the upper echelon. You can take a flyer on any basketball player coming from that program. In football, they're in the lower echelon. How long did he take to even get the starting job at North Carolina, a school that's only produced two players of note in football, and neither one of them were quarterbacks. One was Lawrence Taylor, arguably the greatest defensive lineman of all time, and Julius Peppers. So there was no frame of reference. As a matter of fact, Ryan Pace, you can blame him for all of this, because he had the audacity to select a quarterback available in the first round from the ACC, and his name was not Deshaun Watson. And here's the other thing. That draft pick, for being in the first round for a team that traded up to get and is supposed to be ready to win, and back in 2017, that could arguably be the worst first-round draft pick of all time in sports. Trubisky's a bust. I'm not mad at him, because if I was his dad, I would say sign that contract quick, because they may find out who you really are before they start paying you.
Thank you, Ed. We appreciate the passion, my friend. Let's go to Mitchell in Des Plaines. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mitchell?
What I saw, you guys, and you do a great job. Just first of all, I'm not just saying that because I like you. I'm saying that because you earned it.
Well, we like you too, Mitchell. Thanks, thank you. Mitchell. And you've earned it as well.
Okay, well, I appreciate the reciprocity. Here's the bottom line. What we saw on Tuesday was a lack of communication, Your Honor. It was the biggest cover-up since the JFK assassination. What you have here is Nagy, and you have Ryan Pace, who think so little of the Bears, basically their what I call their audience, that they don't even take into account their feelings at all. In fact, if anybody who's a critical thinker that listened to that account on Tuesday, they left with like, did I just hear what I thought I heard? That's what's so sickening about this. The systemic struggle with Trubisky is the fact that he's not an elite quarterback, and Ryan Pace is unwilling to say, look, I'm going to take the brunt of this. It was my call. I made a miscalculation. He can't play in this game. How many? And this is not just me. Let's talk about all the national writers that I could bring into the game, which I won't because I respect your station, who said the following. Mitchell Trubisky can't throw in the red zone. Oh, my God, that is so true. Oh, my God, Mitchell Trubisky has the highest percentage of three and outs in the league. I think he's 29th. Yeah, when it really comes down to what I call the blame game, you would have thought Tuesday would have been like, you know what, Mitchell, we really had a really strong opportunity to get this thing going. But, you know, I'll tell you something that's really funny. In 2010, when they got rid of Rex Grossman, he went to Houston for a year. Yeah. And then he went to Washington. And Shanahan said, look, we're going to have a quarterback challenge between you, Mr. Grossman, and this quarterback named John Beck. And Grossman beat him out for two seasons until they signed RG3. And I ask you, Chicago Bear fans, the ones who've been loyal, that understand the history, the ones that still believe that we should have a rivalry between the Green Bay Packers, which has gone completely out the door with this stupid, ridiculous system that we have called a GM and a head coach.
Mitchell, did you compare it to the JFK assassinations? What did you say there?
Well, because my point was, it's gotten so bad that the temerity of people thinking that the way it went down was the way it went down and how it went down are two different things. That was my whole thing. So you have to have some linear kind of thought point on it. My whole thing is this. I really feel bad for the Chicago Bear fan. That's my point about that comment. I really feel bad for the person who really wants to root for Chicago. But how are you going to get back? How are you going to be behind that kind of what I call campaign when Mitchell Trubisky can't throw in the red zone? When Mitchell Trubisky is leading the league in three and outs? Like, let me ask you this. This is my question to you, because you both are very precocious, you're the best critical thinkers that I know. Why is it when you talk to your host about, you know, like on a Sunday or Monday after a game, you say, hey, you know, Cap or whoever it is, why is it that Trubisky can't get these first downs? Why is he so troubled over 2 years by now? It's not just a 1 year, it's 2 years in a row. Why is he so stuck in the systemic, what I call, attitude of not getting or throwing the ball downfield? That's what I always wanted to figure out, because if you could figure out why he has to throw basically vertical to yards that are negative gain, by the way, negative gain to, like, you know, to his, like, these receivers, and he can't throw downfield, like, you know, obviously all the alpha quarterbacks that work for the Green Bay Packers
Rodgers,
the Minnesota Vikings.
Favre, yeah.
Let me ask you this. So why is that? Are we supposed to just think that it's basically just Nagy not being able to figure out Trubisky? Or do you think that during basically all the off-season training, you know, the OTAs, and you got your training camps, you don't think for 1 second, just use your common sense, you don't think they see his inefficiencies? And then when those inefficiencies are played on games where we really need him to perform, he's throwing interceptions or he can't score. How many times in the last game against a third-string Minnesota, King Trubisky can't throw a touchdown? That is going on for 2 or 3 years. Don't blame John Fox. Don't blame Nagy. You blame Mr. GM, Mr. I Got It All, Mr. Ryan, who is impulsive. He's an impulsive person. He's like the impulsive gambler that can't figure out where he's going. And because he feels something, right? He's out of his mind.
I don't know what the question was there, Abdallah.
There was something about...
I appreciate your phone call, Mitchell. That is truly performance art. I appreciate it.
There's something about JFK. No, Mitchell in Displains is very...
That's great.
He really hates Trubisky.
No, listen.
And he wants him to be a better quarterback. I get it. So do I. I get it.
Mitchell, what was the question again?
Regarding JFK?
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. We're here till 10 o'clock. You can call us at 312-332-3776. Couple breaking stories late tonight. The Dallas Cowboys moving off of Jason Garrett. They will be open for business and trying to find a new head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Just from the start, who do you think they're going to look at first? Is it one of the high touted college guys like Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer, or do you think they try and go and get someone who has some experience in the National Football League?
I think they try to make a splash. This is Jerry Jones. He's not one for the good hire. He's one for the splashy hire. So I think he tries to throw a bunch of money at Urban, and if not, maybe a Lincoln Riley. And then, you know, you see what Lincoln Riley can do with Dak. And then if not, maybe they move on from Dak. Or
doesn't it kind of feel like this season, the coordinators, the offensive coordinators, it doesn't seem like there's many hot up and coming names because everyone got jobs last year.
Everyone got a job.
And the year before that, everyone got jobs. Yep. Sean McVay's and then the Nagy and the Frank Wright and all these guys, they all got jobs.
Here's the problem. I think it's more likely that it's going to be Lincoln Riley than it is Urban Meyer because I don't think Urban Meyer would work for Jerry Jones.
Okay, so but is it a good move for someone like Lincoln Riley and what he's building at Oklahoma to leave that to go to the Dallas Cowboys, where chances are it's not gonna end out well for him? Mm-hmm. Where you know, like right, like that's the thing that I think is so tough is like someone like Lincoln Riley, he could stay at Oklahoma for the next 20 years.
Absolutely.
He can probably win the Big 12 19 of the 20 years that he's there.
If you have no competition and you have this kind of success with quarterbacks, because you will get transfer quarterbacks to come to you after the success. You've done it three years in a row. 3 years in a row. You've taken transfer quarterbacks and turned them into Heisman Trophy candidates. 3 years in a row. And he's going to have to do it again next year if he stays at Oklahoma. And he'll probably be able to do it again. He's just got to find a defense that can stop someone. So maybe they can, you know, advance in the college football playoff.
And that's the larger picture conversation about college football is basically in the SEC and then the Deep South in the ACC where Clemson, Bama, LSU, Georgia, those are the teams that can play defense really at the elite level. Mm-hmm. And we saw it on the field in the semifinal too. Ohio State is a decent team. They're just not good enough. But like outside of those five teams I listed off, no one else is on that level. And so when you look at the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the rest of the Big 10, you don't really have teams who can compete. So like Lincoln Riley can continue to win the Big 12. He's going to end up getting to the playoff every other year or every year because they're going to be the best team out of the Big 12. And based on the rankings and based on what their schedule looks like, people are going to acknowledge that.
But that's my question, Michael. My answer to your question about Lincoln Riley, it was with a question. Has he peaked at Oklahoma? Is this as good?
If I don't think so.
I don't see, like if I'm a defensive player, I'm not going to Oklahoma. He can have all the high flying offense he wants, and maybe he can catch a break if he finds himself against another playoff team that doesn't have as good of a defense as LSU had or as other teams that they've faced in past college football playoffs. But I'm asking you, is this the best he can do? Is just making the playoff? I know that's a great accomplishment because only four schools out of all 100 and whatever make it every year. But ultimately, if that's as best as he can do, maybe he will look to move on and try to have success in the NFL because it ultimately is the bigger dance.
I don't think it is the best he can do. I think they can win a national title at Oklahoma. I think that is possible. Obviously, the defense has to get better, but I think they could do it. They're close enough. The other thing that we're kind of following tonight is the Bulls. They lose tonight to the Utah Jazz, 102-98. For the Utah Jazz, they are led in scoring by Bogdanovich, had 19, 6 rebounds, 17 points from Rudy Gobert, 17 points for Donovan Mitchell, and the Chicago Bulls were led in scoring by Zach LaVine. He had 26 points on 9 of 26 shooting. He went 3 of 11 from the three-point line. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. 18 points each for Lowry Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. If you want to talk Bulls basketball with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. The Bulls are now 13-22 on the season, 7-12 at home, and they are 2.5 games back now of the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference to the Orlando Magic, who are sitting at 15-19, 8th in the East. And really, the way you got to look at it for the Chicago Bulls is there's four teams there: Orlando, Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit. Between those four teams, one of the four, they're going to win the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference. And I think all four of these teams are going to be lumped together for the majority of this season. So, like, if you can stick close with Orlando or Charlotte, all you really have to do is put together two good weeks. You know, go on a win streak, win 7 or 8 games in a row. I know it sounds like a tall order if you're a Bulls fan because what we've seen to this point. But in reality, that's all you need to do. And Brooklyn is sitting in the 7th spot at 16-16. So, you know, the 7th and 8th spots in the East are just at 500 or right below 500. You can get to that spot if you're the Chicago Bulls.
The problem with the Bulls is, so at halftime they led 51-47, right? They were on a 17-1 run that was interrupted by a half. Their biggest lead of the Jazz was by 11. Then they allowed a 24-4 run late in the game. You can't do that and expect to win games. This happens every single night they play a good team. Every night they play a good team, you're like, oh man, the Bulls are up 11. Utah Jazz are a good team. It's a home game. Bulls got this. Just lock it down for the rest of the game. You can't stop a 24-4 run. It's crazy to me that this team, that they need that you've got players like Zach LaVine that said he's sick and tired of people calling out his defense, that you just continue to play poor defense and you can't stop anybody in a run. It's just shocking to me that you end up in these late game situations when you could have put the game away and you continue to not put the game away.
Well, let's call it what it is. You have a coach who can't coach.
Yeah.
I mean, late game situations, getting the right shots for your team, allowing your players to thrive, putting them into the right situations to produce points and to win at the end of games, a lot of that has to do with the coach putting players into the right spot. Now, it's the NBA. The best players and the more talented players are usually going to rise above the rest, mm-hmm. but this team needs help. And I'm not sure if this is the head coach that can get that done. And it seems like they're okay just kind of going through this mediocrity of a season and just trying to kind of figure it out. But really, if they miss the playoffs, that's going to be a huge problem. You know, this team tanked and basically sold off pieces because they were sick of being 500.
Mm-hmm.
We were sick of the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference and not being able to get back. That was the problem. But now this team is well off, is not as well off as they were when they had Jimmy Butler and the players that you have. Lauri Markkanen, we haven't seen the development that we needed to see to this point in the season. 18 points is nice in 32 minutes tonight, 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. He's been shooting a lot more from three-point land. And I know specifically in the month of December, his three-point percentages went up by like 10%. But it's still not good enough. This is a player that we should be talking about as a possible all-star, but we're not doing that with Lauri Markkanen. The month of December, he shot from three-point land 41.6%. In November, he was at 31%. In October, he's 21%. So he's jumped by 10% each month throughout the season. The problem is you need to be more consistent and get more out of that offensive player for this team to be successful.
Yeah, he had a good night tonight, but we've joked throughout the season that basically on most nights he's just out there getting his steps in. Right? Lauri Markkanen needs to develop, and Kobe White's has been a decent player so far. Wendell Carter Jr. is advancing nicely, and Zach LaVine is shooting, but he's not playing, you know, he's not playing any defense like he said he would. That comes down to coaching. These players need to develop. We were sold that this team was going to be a playoff team. We were sold that this team believed in Jim Boylan to develop these young players. And right now, your most important player, Zach LaVine's your most important player, your second most important player, if you want this team to be a playoff contending team and to make any sort of noise in the East, has to be Lauri Markkanen, and he's not developing. And it's a huge problem because this is supposed to be the guy. He just looks like he's not getting it. He looks like he's tired out there. He just looks like he's not adapting to NBA basketball.
All right, so listen to these stats, and you tell me whether or not this sounds like a team that should win a ball game. They shot 30% from three. Utah shot 36% from three. The Bulls shot 39% from the field. Utah shot 48%. So Utah did shoot better on the evening than the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls got to the foul line 17 times. They made 13 of those. Utah went 17 of 22 from the foul line. But here's the key. The Bulls out-rebounded Utah. They were 45-42, and the Bulls had less turnovers than the Jazz. The Jazz had 17 turnovers on the night. The Bulls had 10. How do you lose a basketball game where the opposition has 7 more turnovers than you, and you out-rebound them?
You allow a 24-4 run late in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter.
We'll talk Bulls with you coming up next, 312-332-3776. Black and Abdallah in for Jonathan Hood right here on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah in for Jonathan Hood tonight here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Thanks to Mike Gold Jr. for joining us earlier tonight. And thank you for Eric Ostrowski for producing tonight's show. If you want to hear the podcast of tonight's show, you can go to ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. You can also download every podcast here on ESPN 1000 on the TuneIn app, on Spotify, and also on iTunes. You can search Black and Abdallah. You can search Under the Hood. We're all there. On Spotify, iTunes, and TuneIn. Black and Abdallah here singing for Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You know, over the course of the last couple of days, you see all the articles on the Tribune, on Apple News, and all the different spots for people like trying to have a strategy for the new year and trying to figure out how to be a different, more improved person. Have you seen this stuff, Abdallah? Set yourself right for the year type articles about what you should do to get more sleep,
yeah, new year, new
to
me.
Get exercise, to eat right. There's people who are not drinking for a month, right? So they can kind of set themselves up for a successful year.
It hits close to home because you and I went out on New Year's Eve. I put on that suit. A little snug.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
A little snug.
You looked okay.
A little snug. Thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, for me, I should probably take it in a couple notches.
Well, so if you're looking for your wellness trend of the year, what are you looking to do? Are you going to do like yoga? Are you
me? I'm not going to eat like a you
do some goat yoga or something.
I'm not going to eat like a butt.
Wait, what
like, I wanted to
mean?
Say other things. Like I eat horribly. I'm just going to try to not eat bad. Like I'm not going to eat poorly. Like I'm not going to eat burger. Well, no, I'm probably still going to eat burgers. I like burgers a lot.
I read a article on drinking mindfully.
Drinking mindfully?
Yes.
Like
drinking
how are
mindfully.
You, like how like you just what, is it like vodka instead of 8 beers? Like what is drinking mindfully?
Well, and less. A lot less.
Well, yeah, look, I'm at the age now where I don't need.
And what's the thing of like 30 doing 30? People are doing 30s
Whole
of 30? Stuff. Whole 30s was
no,
that?
Whole 30s different.
Was that?
That's a diet.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
With 30 what? I know
is that like a keto deal.
I know about dry January.
Am I going to hear about this from 9 to noon? This
probably.
Whole 30 deal?
Maybe. No, Whole 30. No, probably not.
Do you go to Whole Foods? Is that what
no,
you do?
No, it's like I don't know what it is. I don't do this stuff. And dry January to me, it's like. I think about it, and then I'm like, well, what about the national championship game? I got to watch a football game. I'm going to have to drink during that. And
right.
then, like we're going to go out. Like, what
yeah.
am I not going to drink?
There's playoff games this weekend.
Yeah.
Wild card
like,
weekend.
What am I not going to drink? Like, what is this?
And it's wintertime. Like,
yeah,
come
what else
on.
You going to do?
Yeah. And then when it gets nice out, it's
yeah.
summertime.
It's summer. I'm yeah. going out. Like, I'm going outside. Yeah. So I don't know. How do you drink mindfully?
You guys sound like you have a problem.
I don't have a problem. But I don't, like, I don't know how you, how do you drink mindfully? Less?
I don't
I'm
know.
35. I don't need to have 10. I don't need to have 10 vodka sodas a night.
I could click on the article again.
No,
but
you just don't care.
I was reading it, and then I got bored of it, so I stopped reading it because I was like, well, this is stupid. Like, listen, if you got a problem, figure that out. But we're just saying, like, if you're going out with your friends, like, it's just not fun.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You don't have to drink. Like, there are people that don't. There are people that don't. The people that don't drink.
I like Tito's too much.
I do too. They're very good vodka. But like, I don't. What do you have? Do you have resolution? Do you know? You don't do resolutions, Eric. You don't do resolutions. Do you?
No, absolutely
no?
not. No,
you're gonna read. You're gonna read like a book a month or something.
I don't need a fake deadline to tell myself to do better things.
You're gonna read a book or something.
Yeah, and no,
like what? Like I'm gonna go to the gym tomorrow.
I would like to finish season 2 of You. I would like to do that at some point this year. We're like 6 episodes in.
Spoiler alert. He's still crazy.
You think? when you're 3 episodes in and he has someone as a hostage.
Still.
And it's just like casual conversation with the hostage. I looked at Autumn and I was like, my wife Autumn. And I'm like, is anyone going to be missing this human that the...
See,
if you haven't seen You,
no.
It's a show on Netflix that is all the rage.
It's bad, but it's so good.
Yeah, it's not... like highly acclaimed,
but that's
it's just
the point.
Fun to watch.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad that it's good.
So I've got that. I would like to finish this
year. That's all you're going to do?
I mean, I'm a short-term guy. Oh, you know, okay. Like I don't want to set goals I'm never going to get to. Like, yeah. The whole, like, I'm going to read 100 books.
No.
Not for
Whoa,
me.
That's a lot of books.
A lot of books. Not going to do it because I'm not even going to get through six.
It's like one a month, 12 books.
Should we do a book club on the show?
Nope.
A book a week?
No.
A book a month?
I don't want it because I don't want to read your books.
Like think about it. We could give out the book and then we could read it and then we could do an entire podcast on the book.
I don't want to have to read a book. Why do I want to read? What am I going to read? Eat, Pray, Love?
We earlier talked about how he was like a C student. So yeah. Reading's not really.
I didn't read
his
when it was required.
You
think
I'm going to
read for leisure?
Yeah, audio tape.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to a book? I already listened to 8 podcasts. I got to add audio book? Who's reading me the audio book?
Cap.
Out.
You would love that.
Actually, I would.
If Cap read you Eat, Pray, Love. You would love you would love that.
I will listen to Eat, Pray, Love. If Cap records Eat, Pray, Love, I will then listen to it.
Hey, we can maybe make money off of this.
Cap reading books?
Yeah, yes.
Shot or no shot, I'm going to get up and eat and then pray.
I don't think that's what takes place in the book.
It's not? Okay.
Yesterday, I was watching the college football games, and it was a lot of fun yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like if people got their way and had the 8 teams in the college football playoff, it's like yesterday would have been the day of
Alabama,
the lower
Michigan,
seeds.
Michigan, Wisconsin, and Oregon. Yeah.
And the games are fine, but I don't need that to be a part of the playoff. I enjoyed Minnesota and Auburn without it having the stakes of a playoff game. That was an awesome game. The Outback Bowl was awesome. Wisconsin, Oregon, that was a hell of a Rose Bowl.
Listen, Indiana was up. Tennessee came all the way back just now and beat Indiana 23-22. And that's a great game in the middle of the week.
You know, the Final Four, this is actually the last year until 2026 where the Final Four isn't on New Year's Eve or the 1st. Oh. Like, this year was weird. It was on the 28th.
That's why we went out this year on New Year's Eve, because next year we're busy.
Right. Next year, Jan 1, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, semifinals.
The year after,
the 31st, Cotton
Love
Bowl,
it.
Orange Bowl, semifinals. And they bounce back and forth
Please,
every year.
Just give me a reason to stay in and not see people. I love it.
Abdel will be back with Waddle and Sylvie tomorrow at 2. I'll be with Cap at 9 a.m. And guess what? Black and Abdallah tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.